Welcome to the broadcast from Christian Outreach Center in Sisseton, South Dakota. It's a joy to come to you each week and to bring the message of Jesus Christ and the truth and the power of God's Word. We pray today that your life is touched by the message and the hope that is in Him.
If you've ever wondered what kind of mission statement we have, what's our purpose? Next Sunday morning, we're going to really share the purpose and the foundation of Christian Outreach Center. When I'm done, I may not have a job, but we are going to share that. I've just been writing things down so far. I think I have 5 points. But two of our vital and major purposes, number one, is to glorify Jesus. Amen. And we don't do that by being a bunch of stuffed shirts. We don't do that by coming on Sunday morning and let's have a Be Kind to God day for 1 hour. Isn't that great? People give God 1 hour a day, and if he can't do what he wants to do then, they quit. It's over. But the other purpose, and I'm speaking on love this morning, part two, if I get there. The other purpose is to build eternal relationships in the body of Christ. And anything that hinders those relationships needs to be looked at. How many of you have ever had a love problem? I know you're just all excited about this message already. In relationships that have many facets, it's simply easy to love some and ignore others. Because they may not fit into your culture. They may not fit into your sphere of influence. And so what we're really saying is that there are certain people we love and certain people we tolerate. Amen? Yeah. You bunch of sinners, quit tolerating. And so I just want to point out a few things, and this is not even part of the message. This is just part of the introduction, and maybe my introduction will be longer than the message, but that's okay. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love or eagerly search for love or eagerly love, and better yet, that you prophesy, and that you prophesy. Pursue love in the New King James, and prophesy. Now, let me just simply ask a question, and I know I may get out into dangerous ground. You got to remember I haven't slept much, so you can forgive me already. When you love someone, you want to give them the best, don't you? When you asked that woman to marry you, you didn't go to Cracker Jack's to look for a ring. It would have been cheaper, because you could get a box of Cracker Jack's when I was growing up for a nickel. And in there was a toy, and sometimes you found these nice little rings. And you know how much they cost. We come to a place in the body of Christ. Now don't miss this. That God has given us gifts of the Spirit. But we look at that and somebody says, well, that was just for years gone by, so they're dispensationalists. They just believe when Paul died, everything else died. Others say, well, I'll let somebody else do it. And a few percentage of believers say, I really want everything God has for me. If I love you, and I really want to minister to you and help you and encourage you, I want to get the gifts of revelation, the gifts of power, the gifts of knowledge, the vocal gifts. I want to get those gifts so that my life can be a blessing and a ministry to what you're going through. Thank you, whoever said that. It's good to have one person with me. But at times, we get to the place where all we're interested in is knowing that we're saved. But salvation is a doorway into all kinds of things that God has for us. You know, it's like taking my wife to the dollar store. I walked through there once and I said, goodness sakes, what do I need this for? But she sees value in there. And it's only a buck. So I'll give her allowance, $2 a week. Go ahead and go to the dollar store. I am generous too, to a fault. But God just willingly pours out the gifts into us so we can give them out. Now here's what's happened. Not you folks, but for those people that aren't here today. They'll hear it on the radio. Is that through the charismatic movement, and charismatic movement has some amazing, blessed stuff. Don't chuck it out. Through the charismatic movement, the baptism in the Holy Spirit became a badge. Gifts of the Spirit became a badge. And we had Christians who were superior and Christians who were inferior. Are we okay?
Yeah.
You better not put this on the radio. No. And so there was an upper echelon of believers, and there was a lower echelon that didn't have the wisdom or understanding or knowledge to go deeper. And so a lot of people use the gifts and the baptism in the Holy Spirit and other things as a badge to say, I'm in that upper echelon. Can I tell you something? Nothing God does is a badge for us to be proud. What God does in our lives is so that we serve one another in love. Amen. And we magnify one another and we exalt one another and we lift them up.
Amen. Amen.
It's supposed to be given away.
Yes. Right.
Pursue love. Love will give it away. Love will know a brother or sister needs help. Love knows and understands that I can be ministered through by God to touch somebody's life. And that's what it's all about. And that's what our church is about. As people come in, as people minister, as people say things, as we're teaching and learning and preaching, it's so that we can help somebody else. And through all that helping of other people, we're growing. We're becoming solid. We're becoming stronger. And sometimes you don't see it. But it's there. And as it's there, we begin to walk it out. Let all things be done for edification. What does that mean? It means let all things be done to build up the others. Why did Paul get so anxious about prophecy? Because I believe in prophecy, you're going to have revelation and knowledge. You're going to have words of encouragement and words of comfort and words to strengthen people. You're going to walk this out just as an epistle of Jesus Christ. Not worried about what people are going to give back to us. Concerned about what we're going to do in the name of Jesus Christ to glorify Him. Don't ever glorify Christian Outreach Center or Pastor Faring or someone else. I'm not in that place. We're in that place together of ministry where we glorify Jesus and we're building relationships within this body so that whoever comes in here can feel that they are accepted and loved and shown grace and mercy and understanding. Turn with me to 1 John. Chapter 4. Verse number 7. Dear friends, I'm reading out of Kirk's version. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His Son, an only Son, into the world that we might live through Him. Last week we talked about love identifies us with Jesus. By this you'll know you're my disciples if you love one another. Love identifies Jesus with us and us with Jesus. Today, I want us to look at this a little closer. And as we look at that, God showed His love among us. Think about that. There's a concept that people are just going to know I love them even if I don't tell them I love them. Or I don't do anything to show them I love them. We need to understand that God just didn't speak from heaven saying, I love you folks. And that's good until I tell you I don't. God had to take a cross, put His Son on the cross, and He demonstrated the love that He had for people. I've heard people say in churches, well, I'm just not emotional. But I saw them at a football game I reffed. And they were yelling and screaming, tell me you're not emotional. All I did was throw a little flag on the floor.
Glenn, sorry.
Did you slide over further? And so, well, I'm not emotional. Go watch your grandkids play basketball or football. See how emotional you are if something goes against them. Why would we think that God, who demonstrated love, and even in the midst of that demonstration had to turn his back on his son, why would we think he wouldn't want us to demonstrate what he demonstrated to us? I was walking out of the bank the other day. It's no fun to walk out of the bank the same way you go in. Empty pockets. But I hear people say, well, that's a Christian. I don't want any. Well, it's very interesting because there's sometimes, and I know we shouldn't, I know we should be perfect, but there are days that Christians have bad days. Amen. That doesn't pardon it. That doesn't condone it. Now, you folks, you never had. No. Don't lie either. But there are times we have some bad days. I just adopted a philosophy, there's no bad days, there's just some days better than others. But God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. It doesn't hurt. At times, just when somebody said, man, I'm going through a heartache, I'm going through this, to put your arm around them and pray for them. It doesn't hurt at times when people are having things happen in their lives and all they need is a word from God. You can be the voice that God's speaking through to encourage them, to help them, to strengthen them. Because I'm going to tell you something, and this is from me. I have told hundreds of people, okay, I'll pray for you. I walk away. What happens? How do you know? Because you did. So join the club. But we do. We go through things and we forget instead of stopping right there. I don't care if it's Teals. I don't care if it's a bank. I don't care if it's a post office. And saying, let's pray. Huh? Maybe God wants us just to have a little bit more boldness, just a smidgen. That's an old word, isn't it? Just a little bit. Where we are not ashamed of what the postmaster would say, or the president of the bank, or the tellers, or someone in Teals, because God is moving in our lives, and we hear from God. You hear from God, don't you? And we hear from God, and we just want to share with people the love of God. We're not trying to build a following, not trying to have everybody come to church. It's nice, but it won't happen. We're just trying to glorify Jesus. Boy, I can get some brownie points now because you are so wonderful. You are so kind. You are so loving. And it's true. It's true. And so as people come in here, what they're looking for, and Sherry's doing it over there, and Larry's doing it over here, but whoever comes here, why not just go and say, man, I haven't seen you here before. If I have, I'm sorry. I'm so-and-so. You know what that does? And then the next Sunday they come, you remember their name? You'll say, I'm not like Pastor, I'll remember your name. Why? Because that's vital to them. You know something? You know what's wrong with America? And I love what Joe said. The connections have been broken. There's no connections. You go to church and you go home. You have an hour service. At least we have halftime. I mean, goodness sakes, give us credit for halftime. I hated it. But I love it now. You know why? Because I get to have a cup of coffee. No. No. When else did you get to greet people?
Yeah, that's right.
When else do you get to talk to people? And you know what's going to happen? As you go out for coffee someday, and maybe it's already happening, you're going to have a word of knowledge for somebody. You're going to have a word of wisdom for somebody. You're going to pray for somebody, and they're going to get healed. You're going to pray for the family, and the son and daughter are going to come back. You're going to pray for a marriage, and things are going to happen. Why? Because that's what God does. And that's what love does. So we turn up our trust level, and we turn up our faith level, and we turn up our expectation level. And you know something? God has to respond to that. Because he said he would. You know, church isn't hard. God isn't hard. I'm going to tell you something. God's a lot easier to please than I am. But we come to a place where we just start focusing on people. We focus on what people are going through. We're focusing on what people need. We're focusing on what people need to hear from us. And in that hearing and in that working and in that ministry, their lives are fulfilled.
That's right.
Amen or oh me?
Amen.
You see, church isn't for me. You say, oh. And you say, yeah, I know, you missed 5 weeks. I should say church is not about me, but church is about Jesus and Jesus ministering through us to somebody else. Oh, I got to hurry. I wish I could read my notes. I want to show you, and don't take your pencil and cross out some words in this passage of Scripture. The ones that don't apply to you, don't cross out, or the ones you're not fulfilling, don't cross out. Just look at them. Because love is multifaceted. Is that a good word to use? Is that okay? I never used that word before, but I heard him use it on the phone. So, 14. Nope, 12. Nope, 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Let me ask you something. How many I want to ask you. We'll just look at this. Verse number 4. Love is patient. How come nobody's saying amen?
Amen.
Yes.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, I know. Give me patience and do it right now. In other words, love is persevering. Love is patient. Love perseveres. Love is kind. Are you kind at home? It does not envy. You know, how many of us rejoice when our neighbor gets a brand new car and we're driving a 1940 Ford? How many of us rejoice when somebody gets a new house and we're living in a trailer? And I is, but I'm happy you got a new house. It's not proud. Do we realize that whatever we have, God has given us? Even for those who aren't serving Christ, God is generous. God is generous. It is not rude. Whoa. Love the way you're shouting. Love is not self-seeking. So in other words, love is thinking of the best for someone else.
That's right.
Isn't that a good way to build relationships?
Amen.
Ooh. Love is not easily angered. How many of you are proud of your temper? My dad had a temper, my grandpa had a temper, my great-great-grandpa had a temper, and praise God, I got one! Hey. Doesn't your temper get you in trouble?
Yes, all
the time. Why keep it? Overflow it with love. Just because the devil has made it part of the family heritage, you don't keep it.
Amen.
The Bible says this, be angry, but what? Don't sin. Anything you can't control, get rid of it. Hello?
That's right.
And if you still can't control it, you have an oppressive spirit tormenting you. If you don't want to control it, then you need to get saved.
Yes.
I love, we better say this, I
love,
love
pastor
fearing. Seriously, folks. We can work and we can work and we can work and we can work to get somebody to come to Christ and build a relationship with them, and because of getting angry at something or doing something, we blow it in 2 minutes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Love's not easily angered. Doesn't mean you don't get angry. It means we don't sin when we get angry. Boy, here's another one. Love keeps no record of wrongs.
Amen.
How many's ever looked at your spouse and said, this is the fifth time you've done that? I can never do that because I can't count to five, but seems like somebody's keeping a record. There are things we got to let go.
That's right.
When you forgive someone, when you let someone go, when you minister to someone, it's over.
Amen.
So Peter said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother who trespasses against me? 4 times or 40 times, and what did Jesus say?
7 times 70.
7, 490? So in other words, if I'm counting, I'm not forgiving.
That's right.
Isn't it amazing that we forget all the things that good people have done for us and we remember all the bad things they didn't fulfill? Isn't it amazing, and I'm talking to myself, that I can remember all the good things I've done for you, but I can't remember doing anything wrong. Why? It depends on what we want to focus on. It depends on what we focus on. I was telling Joe and Joe came over. We had coffee this week before he went to Washington. And one Sunday morning in here, a lady walked in whose son was murdered by a man we know. In fact, did I preach the son's funeral? He was stabbed in a bar fight in Peaver. That same Sunday morning that the mother of the dead son came, the one who stabbed him came. Now, how many is going to take a deep breath when that happens? But because God's presence and God's love was here, it turned out well. Love doesn't magnify the wrongs. Love magnifies forgiveness.
Yes, amen.
Love doesn't build up what happened. Love builds up what can happen and ministers. Love does not delight in evil. Our nation needs to learn that. Oh, I'd love to say a few things, but I won't. Love rejoices in truth. It always protects. It always trusts. How about that? Real love always trusts. It protects. Love always hopes. In other words, love always has expectation of something good. It's not about me sitting there just hoping something happens good with Judy. It's expecting God to have something happen with Judy.
Amen.
And in your case, and with Lenny, and with others. Love always perseveres. It never gives up. It never quits. Never runs out on me. No. And love never, say never with me.
Never.
Never fails. Now some of you can look at yourselves and define why you love people and what love is. Love puts up with a lot. If you don't believe it, ask God about us. Huh. Let's see, how long ago? I got saved when I was 9 or 10. Got filled with the Holy Spirit at Lake Geneva Bible Camp in Alexandria. Then decided I was going to do my own thing. And one day, walked a little aisle in church in Fort Francis, Ontario. rededicated my life to Christ. And when I was in seventh grade, I went down for a occupational class, and the lady looked at me and said, "What are you going to do when you grow up?" And maybe I was pathetic, but maybe I look back and maybe it was prophetic. I just said, "I want to be a missionary." "Really? Well, missionary, evangelist, pastor, teacher, doesn't matter." I mean, and I fully didn't understand what I was saying, but I was reminded of that. Church service before I went to college. A lady by the name of Julia Schulberg, gone to be with the Lord, stood up and prophesied to me. I didn't know what that really meant. But she prophesied that many people would come to Christ through what God was going to do in my life. I prophesy over you that people's lives are going to be changed through what you're doing. And you're going to do. And you may be the most bashful, shy person. You're going to find out that God's going to give you courage beyond anything you could ever imagine. A man by the name of Jeremiah, he was a young man. Read Jeremiah 1. And God spoke to him and said, "Do not be afraid of their faces. When they look at you, just give them a Jesus smile. Let them know you love them. Let them know you care. Let them realize we're not afraid." And I close with this. I got it on my notes. The Bible says there's no fear in love, as Joe was talking, but perfect love casts out all fear. And before that, it says that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, that we might have confidence, that we might have courage. How many have ever thought you might be a little nervous when you stand before Jesus? Why? We're walking with him now and we're not bowing. We're living for him now. There's nothing to be afraid of. You kind of got an idea he's going to keep record of what you did and what you didn't do. Keep record of your sins. They're done. You don't have any records there of sin. When you stand before Jesus and you're a believer and you've walked with him, the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," are going to be pretty sharp to hear. Pretty nice. So don't walk around in fear of God. Reverence him. Yes. Honor him. Love him. Do everything you can to minister what he wants you to do, but that we might have boldness on the day of judgment. How many of you ever walked into the presence of your dad and he was very happy with you? Ever happened once or twice? What'd that make you feel like? It made you feel good. There was no fear there. "Hey, son, daughter, I want to see you." "Uh-oh, what did I do now?" And you come in and he said, "Man, I just wanted to tell you how much I love you and I'm happy for you and I'm proud of you." Can you imagine that the Bible says God's going to rejoice over us? Really? "I didn't think I'd make it." How many have said that? But God's going to rejoice over you. Read Jude 24. Just read about it. It's amazing. Perfect love destroys, casts out all fear, so that we might have confidence on the day of judgment. You know something? And I'm done. I should quit a long time ago. I wanted to go to the Presbyterian Church for lunch, but they're out of turkey by now. I know they are. we start thinking that God is hard to please. And the only one that can please him, if only you have a pistol with a million notches on it for people that you led to the Lord. God isn't hard to please. He just wants you to be faithful. And he honors us with his presence.
Choosing celebration, breaking into freedom. You're the song of our hearts. We cast aside our shadows, trust you with our sorrows. You're the song of our hearts. Dancing to the rhythm of your heart. We're rising from the ashes to the stars. You're the joy, 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 light in my soul. The joy, 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 making me whole. Though I'm broken, I am running into your arms. Your arms.